There's lots to say about the corn crop, but let's start with what you think in Illinois it looks like and what kind of conditions it's come through so far this season.
We've tried to maintain our optimism, saying that the crop was obviously pulling water from lower layers in the soil, and I think it's done about as much of that as it can do in these areas that haven't had rainfall. I think our root system is in pretty good shape in general, but once the crop has extracted more water than in its raining over a six-week period, as ours has done here in the eastern part of the state, it reaches a point where it's just not going to compete for that soil water anymore. Even though our humidity has dropped just a little bit as this front has come through now, I'm starting to see in the fields more and more indication that the crop is simply kind of giving it up. In other words, leaves curling, just an unhealthy-looking canopy over the top now in some cases. And as long as we continue without some water, even if our temperatures are a little bit more moderate, that's not going to help a great deal. When the crop can't take up water and lose it through its leaves, then it can't do photosynthesis either. And so that's what we're seeing here. This is going to be played out in two ways. One is going to be a reduced kernel number, and we're already getting some reports of that reduction. Nosing back is the term that a lot of people use, finding a lot of cob at the end of the kernel rows. Normally, we get kind of alarmed when we see that because it means that kernel numbers have dropped from what they could have been. Now, under normal circumstances, not all of the kernels on the length of the ear actually pollinate and turn into developing kernels. The important thing is always to look at how many kernels there are there before we worry about how many aren't there. And kernels, ears should have 500 to 600 kernels on them. At higher populations, of course, we can have fewer kernels and still get full yield potential. But if we multiply the thousands of ears per acre or the number of ears in a thousandth of an acre, which is the way most of us do that, times the number of kernels per ear, we should be getting a number somewhere in the 15,000 range. 15,000 to 18,000, generally that's a really good place to be. We divide that then by the number of kernels we expect to have in a bushel, and that's where our yield estimates come from. So the federal government's yield estimate that will be released next week is based on them taking lots of counts like that. And I expect that we're going to be disappointed, at least in many fields, by relatively low kernel numbers per ear. I haven't pulled a lot of those, but those that I've looked at are certainly coming in that 300, 350, 400, maybe 450 range. I'm sure there are fields where it's much better than that, but we can't generally make up very much the loss of kernels. In other words, kernels can get a little bit larger if we'd suddenly have ideal conditions, and make up some for the loss of kernel number, but yield differences year to year, field to field, often are pretty closely related to kernel numbers. And so if we're going to slip down to 50 or 100 fewer kernels than we'd normally have, we're not going to make that up with additional size. And the other way that we will lose yield is by not having enough canopy to fill the kernels very well that are there. Now, we're 3 to 4 weeks past pollination in most of these fields, and we've had high temperatures, so growing degree days is keeping us moving quickly. We're on pace to bring the crop to its natural end by early September in many of these fields, just because of the high growing degree day accumulations we've had in the last 6 weeks or so. that comes after somewhat late planting. And so if we're going to make up growing degree days after late planting, we'd certainly rather not do it in July like we did this year. That's already our highest GDD accumulation month. And if we're going above average on growing degree day accumulations in July, we have a crop that's struggling to some extent, in part because that higher growing degree day accumulation in July comes from higher night temperatures, not higher daytime temperatures necessarily. Our cutoff of 86 degrees means that if the temperature is 90, the growing degree day accumulation is the same as if it's 86 and the same as if it's 95. So just getting hotter during the day doesn't increase the GDDs, but staying warm at night certainly does. We think that the physiological effect of that, of warm nights, is, has been seen now mostly in kernel number. In other words, lack of sugars, even a slight lack of sugars during the pollination and what I guess we could call the kernel fixing period, which is 2 to 3 weeks after pollination, at which time our kernels that are fertilized start to develop into real kernels and don't abort. I think that's going to be our problem with the high night temperatures, and it's probably a subtle thing. The one thing I've been hearing, even in the areas that have had better water conditions in the last month, that kernel numbers are not as high as we would like them to be. And so this raises concerns all over the place and says that, you know, if we had good water and pretty good moisture, if we had good moisture conditions and a good canopy color and so on, about the only thing we can lay low kernel numbers to is those high night temperatures. We really haven't had pests and diseases that we would expect to have limited kernel number. So I think it's going to be put to the warm nights, at least to a large extent.
Has there been any work, for instance, out of Nebraska or potentially out of Texas, where they do a lot more irrigation on this idea that these very warm nighttime temperatures, even under irrigated conditions, would simulate, relatively speaking, the moisture levels that we've had in a lot of the growing season across much of the western Corn Belt, does actually show exactly what you've talked about, which is even if we've got enough water, the hot temperatures will cause the fewer kernels to be set.
Well, typically in the drier areas, the western Corn Belt, where they do irrigate, they tend to get high yields there. But I think that I don't know if they've done research or just looked at yields over years with different low temperature, night temperatures. But we even see that here, that our highest yields tend to come with below normal temperatures in the July and August especially. And that was certainly true in 2004 and in 2008, 2009, where we never saw these periods of high temperatures like we saw this year. And there wasn't very much relief this year. You know, it's sort of a cumulative thing. Every day that we had less than normal sugars retained by the plant, in other words, at high night temperatures, they tend to respire some of that energy away. Then I think we're going to see the effect of that. The concern about canopy health at this point, I wrote this week about loss of lower leaves, and right. We're certainly seeing that in some fields. I think it's going to be one of those years when people, when they get out and start counting kernels and so on, there's likely to be more surprises on the negative side than there are on the positive side. We've all been sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, I guess, and I'm afraid it has dropped and we're just going to discover that. I don't want to be all gloom and doom about it. Some parts of the state are better watered And I think we have good yield potentials. I seriously doubt we're going to hear some of the high yield records that we've had in someplace in Illinois in recent years. And statewide averages, I wouldn't guess at those at this point, but we were at, I guess we can hope that they're better than last year, but I'm not sure that I'd bank a lot on that.